Welcome to Game Chat, the video game book club on the internet. This week we're talking about Valley, which was released back in August of 2016, developed and published by Blue Isle Studios, and available on Switch, PS4, Xbox One, PC, Mac, and Linux. A little summary of the game. Explore the vast and beautiful world of Valley using the power of the Leaf Suit, a fierce exoskeleton that grants exceptional speed and agility, along with the phenomenal ability to manipulate the life and death of all living things. It sounds so ominous, which I guess it is, but very, very ominous. For those listening, we always have a little intro question. Well, we introduce ourselves along with answering an intro question so that y'all who are listening can know who you're listening to and kind of get a, I don't know, get to know us better. You know, we're friends, BFFs. Our intro questions always have to do with the game that we're discussing. And this week, the intro question is, coolest urban legend or old wives' tale you've heard that you'd love to investigate? Or, I mean, if you are an adventurous person and have investigated something, please, we need to hear that as well. But if there's one that you would just have heard and you're just like, I would love to. Like, I'm sure if Jonathan was here, he would say it was Bigfoot. We're not saying that's an urban legend or an old wives' tale. Of course Bigfoot exists, but, you know, to each their own. All right, starting at the top.
All right, this is Franco. And I'll have to say, from watching the movie, I really got intrigued by something called the Mothman. Pennsylvania. Well, not Ohio Valley, West Virginia, kind of.
Yes, it's Ohio Valley. We claim it here in West Virginia.
Okay, my apologies. But yeah, that and, you know, yeah, Bigfoot as well, UFOs, all that good stuff.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. If you had to choose between, though, I mean, like, if someone came to you and was like, Frank, we have this big opportunity, but we have two big opportunities for you, but you can only choose one. Investigate this UFO sighting that could be something, or investigate the Mothman. Which would you go for?
Mothman.
Okay. Good choice. The Mothman is proud. All right, next.
This is Madeline. So because of coronavirus, believe it or not, a lot of hospitals are closing outlying clinics and places that serve kind of already underserved populations, unfortunately, just because they're not the ones that bring in the money. And during pandemics, you don't have elective procedures, so hospitals don't make any money, basically. So they closed a hospital that's about 40 minutes west of where I work, called Cushing, and reportedly one of the original founders of the Cushing Hospital haunts it on the regular and appeared to one of the pharmacists when they were working there overnight in the hospital at like 3 a.m. So would be cool to go hunt the Cushing ghost.
Nice. Interesting.
Beautiful. Wonderful. Thank you. Next.
Hi, this is Kevin. And as far as urban legends, probably the Jersey Devil, being a Jersey native.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Even though I'd probably be scared out of my mind if I actually ran into the Jersey Devil.
Yeah, I mean, same. All right, thank you. Next.
This is Chris. There's actually kind of two that are local to where I live. We have our own stories of a kind of like a Loch Ness monster in the harbor here.
Oh, cool.
Although, like, the last sightings were, I think, were in, like, the 1800s. So, you know, take that as you will.
But
still would be interesting to kind of, like, or what I think it would have been more interesting if there were more, I guess, recent sightings. Not like today, but like maybe back in the 40s or 50s type of thing. 1950s, that is.
Yeah.
There's also another story of one of the blizzards that we had like years ago here. I can't remember the exact house, but the story is that there were these two older ladies that were in the house down by the water.
Mm-hmm.
They got trapped, and it was just them and their dog, and you know they were trapped for quite a while, and the dog ended up killing both of them.
Oh my god!
Started to eat them. And the story is that the two ladies are still haunting the house to this day.
Sure.
So my mother and her siblings did go to, like, visit the house once, and they said they were like up in the like third floor or so, and they could hear like what sounded like ladies in the kitchen like washing dishes, and then the door slammed shut, and they were stuck in the room for a short while of time.
Oh.
So yeah, I mean that seems kind of interesting to kind of like something to look into and investigate.
Yeah. Interesting. This is Steph. As far as like larger legends, yes, the Mothman, absolutely. But I was actually thinking kind of on smaller, very, very smaller scale. We actually have, I remember growing up, because I live in a very heavily forested area. And so my grandfather, one of the things that we would do together is he had a four wheeler. And so he would take me four wheeling up in the woods. This is when I was like, you know, possibly about four or five. I mean, it was, it spanned a few years, but probably like this memory came about around that time. But we would always, and this is like a weekly thing, we would just go around the same kind of very overgrown trail in the woods around here. And we actually called it the loop because it looped around in this like big circle. And so there was this one rock that was kind of, I mean, like there was this like little cavern under it, and we never went close to it because it was always, we never really got off of the four wheeler. We just kind of rode through everything. But every time we passed it, every time almost, he would talk about that there was once like two robbers that hid out there for a few days after robbing a bank in town, because we're not too far. We're only like a mountain range away. I mean, like, yeah, like a couple mountains away from like the city proper. So supposedly like they robbed a bank in town and then hid out. And I've never like, you know, I mean, of course that would be some heavy digging. Mm-hmm. But I think that'd be super interesting to find out if that was just, you know, just a tale that, you know, I mean, my grandfather didn't seem like, I mean, that was the only kind of like outlandish story he ever told me. Like everything else was very factual. Like he read me newspaper articles. So it was kind of like out of place that he would just be like, oh, like make up something. But it could have been told to him and not true too. So I think that would be very interesting to look up sometime. Yeah. All right, cool. Let's get into the game. Again, we're talking about Valley, which was released back in, I was going to say a couple of years ago, but 4 years ago in 2016 by Blue Isle Studios. All right, so let's get started with the nitty gritty here.
for those listening, the game, you kind of just start out with this person in this like heavily, I think you start like in the forest, right? In the amongst the trees, grass, outside. I don't think you start in the factory, do you? In any of the buildings?
You start when you wrecked your canoe in a cave.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Sorry, it's been a few days. It's been a while. yes. So, yeah. So you start outside and you eventually find these, you know, this suit called a leaf suit. And you get to try it out. And as you continue throughout the game, you find these boxes that kind of are parts to add on to the suit to give you new abilities. You find out different things about the valley that you're exploring and the buildings there that you discover. There are these like little energy balls everywhere that you can collect because your suit has energy and it uses energy to do things. And you can collect those balls to renew that energy amongst other things. There's also little spirits around. Very exploratory, first person action game with a little bit of platforming thrown in. So starting with the nitty gritty with like controls, mechanics, that sort of thing. How did y'all like these things? Like you have in the running and jumping ability. Did that work okay for you? We'll start with just the basics like running and jumping. Did you have any qualms with like your basic controls, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Not really. Just for the record, I'm playing on PS4.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed to be, you know, fairly well adapted for. Not so much control, but throughout this whole game, my only slight, you know, peeve is, you know, the reticle that, you know, shows green if you can revive things, mm-hmm. and blue if you can take the life. Those two colors are real, at least on my screen, are really close together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, I wish it would be like red, take life and stuff like that. So it would be, because like, you know, you end up wasting a little bit of your energy, you know, if when it was really blue instead of green, you know, that kind of thing. But other than that, the running and the jumping, you know, I like the game sort of gradually introduced you to things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, getting used to this. All right. Oh, here's a big hill. Now, if you're running down a big hill, you can jump really far. So here.
Yes.
You know, here's a hill and here's how you can jump really far.
Yeah. I think you did a good job with not only with kind of gradually introducing to these things, but also explaining how to, like telling you how to use it and not just, it gave you just enough. I mean, at least to me, it gave me just enough information for me to understand without like giving me this like, 3-page tutorial screen of like, you know, reading through things, which I've seen other games do.
The only other one was the Viper Coil where you latch onto those crane things?
Yes.
I hated the Viper Coil so much.
Need a little bit more practice on because, you know, it's really, I don't think you're meant to jump off one of those things. You're meant to just release it. And then jump once you're in the air, because I failed a lot of times, like trying to do it both, like trying to swing and then jump off the chain is like, if I hit the jump button, it sort of like just dropped me, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. That was
one point of the game that didn't really explain the mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It didn't explain that as much as some of the rest of the stuff.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
That was like the really more important mechanics of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it really
I guess as opposed to everything else where the learning curve was so much easy because you expect, if you've been playing games a lot, what you expect to work works, but with the coil, what you expect to work doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The way I ended up having to do it is just like run at it and wait for it, the little light on the thing to turn blue whenever you're close enough to shoot it.
Yeah.
And catch the coil and then wait until I felt like I was at the farthest part out.
Yeah.
And release it. And then if I needed to jump in the air any further, then I could do it.
Yeah.
But that part could have used a little bit more
practice.
And
over safe areas where you're not falling.
Yeah. And they give you that in the second half. So you saw a little bit of an area where there's a bunch of trees with like metal platforms all around them.
Mm-hmm.
You go to a second area like that in the second half when you get to use the vibro coil a whole bunch. And it would have been nice to have that in the.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and also like having that, something like that, but then not also like if you miss a platform falling to your death, you know, into the water. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's really something, I mean, to me at least, it's not really something I think that I could read and pick up one, but definitely, it could definitely have used more practice before they kind of threw you in there with it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. With the Viper coil, because of this section, it was like the section right after you get the platform stuff in Titan Rock, which is like leading right up to.
Mm-hmm.
One where it's essentially like straight in front of you that you have the Viper coil attached to, and then like do like the slingshot stuff. And I fell the first time and it spawned me below. Mm-hmm. And the game ends up creating these giant black like death walls. So I had to restart the whole entire area because I couldn't get back up.
Yeah, I've had that a couple times where you didn't, like, I would fall and didn't die, but landed on a section where you're not supposed to land and just get stuck there. You can't move. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I don't think that happened to me. With the upgrades, we were talking about how it's nice that they kind of do that gradually for you and don't just throw a bunch of information at you all at one time. Did you have a favorite upgrade? Like one thing that you really enjoyed picking up in this first half?
Probably.
What's that?
Double jump would be.
Double jump. Yeah, double jump.
Yeah.
Also the Icarus. Boost? No, wait. I think that was it. Or was it the pushrod piston? The one that allows you to run along the road really fast.
The rails?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
That was a weird area. It was like, that seemed totally out of place.
Rails seemed out of place?
Just from the aspect of how you've been playing this whole game. And now all of a sudden you're like on a you know, hot rod speed course on these, you know.
I loved it.
All of a sudden you're running around at the speed of sound.
Loved it.
And I hate the spoiler alert, because I got had some trouble with that, and I was like, what am I doing something wrong? So I checked the walkthrough and it's like, oh my god, there are so many hidden boxes.
Oh, I'm sure.
Jump areas.
I'm sure. Yeah. There were a couple times where I'd stop and like look around, but it also, I almost stopped myself from doing that because it kind of like, that'd be something I'd go if I was going to play like the level again. But mm-hmm. like that first run through the level, like I started doing that, but then I stopped myself and just started like just enjoying the ride on the rails because you know, the music, like they had the music going and I felt like I was like kind of slowing down the coolness of the level, you know, stopping to get stuff. No, there were areas where I passed through that I was absolutely like, oh, there's stuff around here. Absolutely.
Missing stuff. Yeah. Which doesn't bother me. And those super long jumps definitely had, pardon my French, the pucker factor. It's like, oh, this is going to be close.
I love it.
Yeah, there were a few times where, I mean, not on the rails, but on the way up the mountain or whatever you want to call it, where I kept over jumping
Yes.
Oh, I've done that. Oh, yeah, I did that a lot. Yeah.
It was just, there were times where it looked like you needed to run and jump.
Mm-hmm.
Where you didn't necessarily have to. And then there were times where it looked like a double jump was fine and that wasn't going to be sufficient. So it was just, I don't know. It was just, it was hard to gauge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of times I ended up looking down when I had to jump and was like a little iffy. Like I would just look down and just to make sure that I was landing on the platform that I should have.
A lot of times it felt like I was too low to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Crouched or something. I don't know. It just felt like I should have been, at least the camera should have been up higher than what it was.
Yeah, it almost has like almost like a helicopter type control where it's like you feel like you're going along. If you pull back on the stick, you'll actually like not jump as far.
Yeah. But I'm just talking.
It's really a tight, yeah.
Walking around too.
It's, yeah.
Felt like you were too low to the ground.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you always hold the joystick forward when you jump. That's just. Yeah.
But yeah, I started to get the hang of like where it felt like I was going to go too far to then press the S or back to kind of back up.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I would just press back.
Which at least the game lets you kind of like move back a bit in your jump, mid-jump, and then just perpetually move forward, which would happen in real life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now here's my pet question. When you die in this game, right, obviously it takes life out of the trees or the vegetation and stuff, or I guess, you know what, after like the first two areas, you didn't see animals that much after that.
You will later.
Okay. But it was almost like a guilt factor. It's like, oh, I got to go back and bring the trees back to life. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I would... I guess it depends. In this first half, I usually if the meter would go down, which I didn't. I mean, I didn't die too many times. I didn't hit the water too many times. But if the meter would go down, I would just kind of revive the trees that I needed to, and then if any were like in my path, I would revive those too and get like the acorns or whatever.
Yeah, my sin. I would get totally lost in like. Making sure every tree was.
Yeah, you can't. You can't. That's how you had like 7 hours of play through this time frame.
Exactly. Oh. That's right.
Oh, that's not our fault.
Annoyed by the acorns to some extent.
Yeah, they're a little hit and miss at times.
You would revive a tree that was right next to the water, and since acorns decide to roll
into. I fell into the lake like 3 or 4 times trying to get. Acorns
right and how many acorns rolled off a cliff?
Yeah.
No, like, you feel like jumping like, after.
Like
yeah, I have no completionist. I mean, my completionist bones are very, very light and
acorns
fragile.
Come from some of these trees. I meant like in reality.
Sure. Well, we're not playing reality. We're playing a game.
Yeah.
Unless these are weird magical acorns.
Probably they glow. So.
Let's see. We already talked about the Viper core, the coil, the quantum death, which is what we're talking about now. How did did anyone have any issues with the? I think maybe Chris mentioned it in the Discord about the whole like if you're in an area and you die, they cut it. Well, it sends you back to the last save point, but if you exit out of the game and you come back in, it sends you to the beginning of the level.
Yes.
Exiting out, but just completely depleting the...
The life force in the area, yeah.
Oh, wow, you had... Okay.
That will do it, too, if you're not paying attention to the leaf meter.
Okay.
Yeah.
The problem with what I was having was, you know, I was right at the start of the Viper coil, so there was really no way to like the land.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And there's no really plants around there that you can only replenish the vines around there like so often. There's only like four vines maybe right there. Mm-hmm. So it's not like there's a bunch you can like at the beginning valley where there's 8 million trees that you can see and
right.
go and charge bunnies. A little bit back up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you want to kill bunnies and deer, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't a problem for me in the first part of the game. It became a slight problem in the second part, but only because of a certain thing. But most of the time, if I would like, because you know, I didn't have any times where the leaves were completely depleted for me. Usually it was only like one at a time, and then I would just replenish it back. But usually when I played it from one area to the next. So I didn't really have to worry about that until towards the end. Yeah. I don't really understand. I mean, I think that's, I don't really understand why they couldn't just start you at your last checkpoint like they do if you die.
Yeah.
You know?
Marks have checkpoints.
Well, I mean, if you die, it sends you back to like your previous, like,
to the start of the level.
No.
Yeah, when you deplete the leaf.
Oh, I'm not talking about just when you like fall into the water. You regenerate back at the.
Yeah.
See, I just did that like on either side of whichever side of the shore was closer, which isn't necessarily a save point. It's just the game remembers what you did last temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But apparently not whenever you log out or completely deplete.
Yeah.
I understand completely depleting your energy all the way down.
Sure.
I think your game probably has some like set spots where it's like, this is a stable platform that the player was last on, type of thing.
Well, one time it put me on the place I was trying to land on, which was super helpful.
Yes, it did that. I think it might have been the second half. Like I was trying to jump across this huge, and there was water underneath. And it was like this, you know, from one shore to the next off of, you know, there was a piece of metal that I was jumping off of and jumping onto another piece of metal on the other side of the water. And I missed the platform. I missed the other shore and the metal, and I fell into the water, and it spawned me on a piece of like a beam that was going right at the right on top of the water, like that went halfway from one side to the other.
So
I came to, you know, like it regenerated me, and I was like, oh, what? I was like, oh shoot. I was like, is it? Cause at first I thought it regenerated me like mid jump. And I was like, oh no, we're screwed. Like we're done. We're done.
Never ending loop here.
They just spawn you in midair and you just fall.
Yeah, but it spawned me on top of the beam. But for a second, I didn't see the beam under me. I just thought I was on top of the water. And I was like, oh no.
There was one area, just like there was a Viper coil pull just on your way to the Soma facility. And it was like, if you jump in just the wrong direction, you can actually jump all the way back to the beginning of the level. There's like a huge gap. And it's like, oh, shit. Well, I didn't die, but I'm all the way back.
I've seen this before. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there were a couple of times, like going back to like the quantum death thing. Now, there were a couple of times, I think especially in the first half, that like I would see like I would get down to if I would die, like if I'd have to regenerate a couple of times, and like the leaves would go down, like, you know, a couple of times, I would just exit out of the game and restart the level. Okay. If I wasn't too far into it, because I was like, well, I don't want to, like, you know, I just don't want to play with fire. I didn't know how it would look the farther the leaf went down, if, like, you know, what would happen. So I was precautious. And that's going on. We've already talked about the Valley Life meter. Collecting acorns and medallions. So, you know, Frank, I'm sure you had a lot of acorns. Yeah, since you revived all the trees. You're already in the hundreds halfway through the game, or you're past halfway?
No, we're at our stopping point. I'm like somewhere in the 100 acorns, 100.
Wow, sir. I applaud you. I applaud you. I think,
if you don't mind, like, how many times did you die? Because that changes how many acorns you get usually.
Yeah, you know what? I had one trouble. What happened was, funny story, I stopped like 2 hours in, and then when I went to reload instead of continue, and it took me back like one area.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, oh shit. So, and then that particular area was a difficult one, and I had forgotten the right sequence on those Viper coil jumps. Mm-hmm. And I spent a good hour trying to figure out where I should be jumping.
Oh no.
So it was just like rinse and repeat and go back, scoop up, you know, revive the valley, scoop up the acorns, try the jump. Oops, screwed up. Yeah. Go back, revive the valley, scoop up the acorns, try the jump again.
Yeah. And so it kept giving you more acorns.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the trees die.
And as long as you bring them back to life, they're like, oh, here, have an acorn. Or four acorns.
And it's pretty random. Yeah.
I feel like they're giving a lot more acorns now than the last time I played, but I don't know. I will say, though, I was watching a guy do a playthrough of the game, and he didn't die that much, and he was just sticking to, like, main quest line, wasn't doing any exploring really at all, and then he'd find an acorn door and be like, oh, I don't have any acorns. How did I get in here? Like, are they not giving me enough acorns? And I'm like, well, you're not exploring. But the number two, like, I don't think you're dying enough, honestly, to get enough acorns to get in here. It's weird that I feel like they've made some of this unintuitive enough that they expect you, they want you to die a little bit so that you can get into some of this, but also then kind of fully understand the, like, the system that they have going on.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, if you really want,
they're allowing you. Yeah.
Yeah. If you really want to cheese this game, that area with all the trees and the platforms, you know, you could have a field day. You could just jump off the cliff, come back, and all those trees are now dead. So it's like, you could really, I didn't do that. I did not do that.
How many medallions do you have, Frank?
I think at the stopping point, I think I had 25.
Okay. All right.
It's about average. I think I missed a lot of, you know, like that, the speed thing. I know I missed a lot of medallions. I have no idea. I'm keeping sense in the back of my head. How many am I going to need to open this freaking pyramid?
Spoilers, you need like 70 something.
Holy crap.
Apparently there's multiple levels in the pyramid, which I haven't gotten.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get in my first playthrough. I got to the door and I had like 56 and I was like, well,
yeah,
all right. I'm going to go through the rest of the game now, I guess.
Is why they have the maps so you can travel back to areas?
Oh, for sure. Okay. I got through the first door because I've kind of beat the game. I got through the first door of the pyramid, which for those listening, the pyramid's kind of an extra, like you can get extra stuff inside. So it's not a necessity that you do the pyramid. Like nothing inside other than like just, you know, extra stuff.
Goodies.
Right. Goodies there. That's the word. I got through the first door and then like, I maybe had like 7-6 medallions left, maybe 12, and I was so the second door was not happening. I was like, probably won't happen in this playthrough, but you know, and I don't think that it would have given what I ended with, so but I think beating the game, so like that, mad props to you, Frank. I think at the end of the game after opening all the acorn doors that I came across personally, it was like 90 some acorns, I think.
Wow.
All right. So, I'm going to go through, I'm not going to go through, like, of course, I mean, because it's a lot of exploratory stuff. So I'll go through the areas of this first half of the game, bring up a few things that's in there. And if I miss anything that you want to bring up, please do. So your first area that you hit is Wendigo Lake. This is where you're first introduced to the daemons, the little sprites that run around that... Now, I think you can take energy from them, right?
Really?
Yes.
Who would do that? Who would do that?
And they turn purple and angry.
Oh, wow.
Do they attack you?
I didn't leave it that long to find out. I was trying to get it from like one of the little Amrita orbs behind it, and it like zoomed across and looked at me and was like, and I was like, go back.
The bunny spirits are angry at you.
Yes, the
daemons.
Daemons, they are super cute. They just kind of whiz by you, little tiny things, especially. You know, in reference to you and your leaf suit, which kind of elevates you a bit than normal height. You know, you also come across your orbs for the first time that you can collect. You come across the Amrita orbs for the first time, which are the large beehive orbs that you have to, the beehive?
I call them beehives. Swarm. That's what I call them, yeah.
Oh yeah, the Amrita swarms. That's right. That's what they're called.
Yeah.
Because they have the flies buzzing in them or something like
something
sounds like flies. Yeah. Did you have any issues with like? I mean, the purple ones weren't that big. I think in the first half, what we ran across purple ones and green ones. I think were the green ones in the first half of the game?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
What's the difference between the two? I haven't.
No, the green ones,
are more aggressive.
Yes, the green ones are more aggressive and seem a bit more powerful. Like, you know, their resistant. their hits, I think, deplete your energy a bit more. Gotcha. And they also, to me at least, they seem like that they were a tad bit quicker. And I know a couple of times it seemed like that they were almost like, following, like trying to get to me rather than the purple ones just kind of, you know, floated around, attacking you if you got close, but still didn't like actively like move towards you. You know, you also start collecting, you find your leaf suit and start collecting parts for the leaf suit. I love the little like, is super helpful. Well, I mean, for the most part, but the signs that they would have for the leaf suit guy that would kind of point, like show you which way to go, like, especially when you were training and when you were learning to use things. I thought those were cool. It made it seem very much like, you know, because those were usually found like on the training grounds. Those were fun. It gave it a very, give it a very almost like I want to say maybe Fallout, but also like a portal vibe as well.
Okay.
Yes, to where you're like running through an abandoned warehouse stuff.
Anything else about the Wendigo? Oh, sorry, go ahead, Kevin.
No, it almost felt like Portal with I guess Fallout a little bit.
I mean, the game was beautiful. The graphics were, I mean, you know, it wasn't I mean, but it was really good. It was really pretty. So after the Wendigo Lake area, you hit Sasaris Valley. This is where you ran into more of the obelisks.
In the beginning, my favorite area because it was wide open, hardly any danger. Just go find some stuff and go run and jump and play.
Yeah. Did anyone else run up and down all the tree roots that were all over the valley?
I tried to. Yeah.
It was so much fun.
That was basically the Here's How Acorns Work tutorial, as well as some of the other mechanics as well.
Super beautiful area. I'm just very pretty scenery. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
The massive tree that you finally get.
Yes.
Wild, like 400 feet up in the air. I don't know how tall that would be.
Yeah, it's huge.
Ridiculous.
It is huge. And then you eventually, I think you uncover the life seed in this area, correct?
Yes.
Or learn about it?
Once you get down, well, you try to.
Yeah.
Once you get down to the roots of the big pink tree, then your character's like, dang it. The army has confiscated the life seed. Guess I'm going to go infiltrate the abandoned base.
Right.
So...
Gotta do what you gotta do, you know?
That's where that went, yeah.
And like, you know, this is the first area we have one of those, you know, the game starts introducing those massive fall areas where it's like, this is point of no return, that you're not going in.
Yes.
You know, you must go forward. You can't go back.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are definitely interesting. Anything else about this area that you want to discuss?
I liked the ruins.
I
did find them, some of them a little bit distracting, because it's like, hey, look, there's a ruin over there across that body of water. I'm like, I kind of want to go there, but I know that it's probably just for decoration, and if I go there, I'm just going to die a lot.
Well, you could revisit that area if you get certain things later on. Might work if you don't run into like the edge of the level. Which I do have to say, like these levels had like massive areas that really had. I mean, you could say no purpose, but also again, everything's beautiful, so it was just very exploratory. It's like, oh, like there's this huge area of trees over here that really there's nothing over here except trees.
Mm-hmm.
But which I assume was probably madness for you, Frank.
Yep.
But
piece of candy. Yeah. Ooh, piece of candy.
You know, sometimes I would just, you know. But I wasn't upset again because the game's so beautiful, and I was like, oh, it's nice. It's nice. But yeah, no, the ruins. Oh, this is when I started getting like Tomb Raider vibes, and I was I was in a happy place, and things were going right in the world.
I was like, yes. Found out that the life seed stolen.
I was like, please. I just want to walk around tombs all day. Thanks.
Bust through walls. That would be neat. You know, instead of the acorn walls, you know, instead of like jumping down, that you could jump through walls. You know, you see a crumbly wall and like, you know,
yeah. I actually wanted that too.
Gosh, Frank, you're just destroying destroying the ruins by jumping through the walls.
Well, how they have some of the floors where it's like, purple or whatever.
Oh, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
You just want the whole thing to come through.
Is it weird? Did in this like beginning half that we did, they only use that? Oh, sometimes you can smash through crack walls thing once.
They did it a few times. So you did it in the starting ruins.
The ruins is where they introduced it, I think.
Mm-hmm. And then they did it in to get into the elevator shaft there after Titan Rock.
Yeah, they started to bring it more and more in the Titan Rock area. And then in the Soma.
The ones where you where you run through the wall and not smash in the ground.
They don't have any where you run through the wall.
They had one where you ran through the wall, which was during the initial Cerro Valley or whatever.
Yeah, to free up the route.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, maybe. I do. Yeah.
Where you like
to run down the ramp. The wall. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're going down the ramp.
There's no stopping.
Well, yeah.
And also.
Moving on into Titan Rock, which is the next area. I think this is where you start kind of finding the notes from Virginia, the anthropologist, start kind of ramping up. I mean, you started getting them in Wendigo Lake back in the first, but they seem to start ramping up here. I really liked those, and I liked that they had the voiceover for them.
Mm-hmm.
And not just text that you picked up. I mean, like, you know, the other notes that you find are fine, and they were very interesting, but oh my gosh, yeah, like, sorry, I'm like watching a video to refresh my memory as I'm talking about this, and like seeing this person in Titan Rock go through all these places that to get like extra stuff, I'm like, what? Like, they're just like jumping all over the place. Anyways, yeah, so you start finding a little bit more notes from Virginia, the Virginia King, right? That was her last name?
I think so.
Yeah, so you come across the big elevator, and this is where you're introduced to our favorite Viper coils.
Yeah, this
is where as well.
It starts to get hairy, yeah.
Gosh, I just loved the jumping and the running, and how going down hills makes you go faster and you can jump farther. I mean, other than like the Viper coils, I really enjoyed the mechanics in this game a lot. It was very satisfying.
I think coil would have been a little bit less annoying if you could control the length of the Viper coil.
Yeah, I wish you could control the link, and I wish you could control how you were swinging too.
Yes.
Like, I wish
try to change directions in the middle.
Yes, like I wish that it would have let you, like, yeah, kind of guide which way you were swinging, because that to me was the most frustrating. Like, I could deal with whatever the short jumps or what have you, but like, yeah, the most frustrating thing was like, especially later on when you get to like the area with all of the Viper coils, like I was like, I just wish I could just get on this one and just like swing, you know, because that would make sense. But the game said no.
Right.
It said no.
Because you can do that. I mean, in Zelda, when you have the grappling hook, I feel like you could just hang straight and then change direction.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah.
Like, you might be able to in real life when you, like, point another way and swing your feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tomb Raider. Yeah, I'm sure other adventure games out there. But for sure. Let's see. Oh, yeah. And you start learning here about the isolation policy that, like, people who worked in the factories here. I think this was it, that you found out that they couldn't go outside.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow all their workmen that are building all these facilities are somehow being kept from, like, the daemons and the little like glowy orbs in the valley, and I'm like, how are you doing this? Like,
yeah,
can they ship you up to Canada, to the Rocky Mountains? There's no one around, but it's beautiful outside, except that you can't go outside.
Yeah, you can't go outside. It's a beautiful place, but you're stuck in here in this factory, in this coil or what have you. This facility. Yeah, super strange. I'm not sure. I think we started seeing them like here and towards the end of this first half of the game, but you start seeing the notes of like how the people who worked in the like inside the facility underground or what have you, like, were talking about how they envied the what did they call them? The pendulum or Pathfinder. Sorry. Yeah. How they envied the Pathfinder Pathfinder people, and you know, because they got to go outside and like,
mm-hmm. or like one of the engineers was like, we're putting up all these like hooks for the Viper coils.
Yeah.
And one of my guys fell down a chasm and died.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But he wasn't wearing the leaf suit, so he didn't respawn.
Right. Yep. So. I remember the note specifically. Yeah.
And then I loved the notes inside with the scientists.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
So bored.
Yeah.
Damn it, Ralph, with your stop drinking my coffee and stealing my pencil.
Touching my stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the one Pathfinder guy going around. Edwin, I forget what his last name was, but going around the ologist.
The what now?
The one of the Pathfinders,
mm-hmm.
His light is like sort of, or at least in this, it's implied that they sort of start dating or something.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, with Virginia. Yeah.
Virginia. And then, I'm trying to remember. Oh, then there's the one scientist that keeps telling puns.
Yes.
Yes.
That was golden. That was golden. I thought about a couple people I know who love dad jokes, and I was like, yeah, this would be that person. And like, oh man, it was great. Cause I think it's progressional, but I found the note from him first saying, oh, that he was it. It was something about, it was about atoms. You know, he was like, I walked, so, you know, so-and-so were talking about atoms, and I told them they couldn't trust them because they make up everything.
Yeah.
And he was like, and then I left, or something like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, yes. And then you find the note later from the guys from the person who's like, I can't stand him.
he's looking for inert gas to fill up the glove boxes or something. I don't really understand what. Yeah.
Oh my goodness! Yes.
I just want to say that getting into the facility was just that. It just I wasted so much time walking around that facility. Bringing every frigging vine back to life.
Oh.
Yeah.
Before you even went inside, figured out how to get in.
Because I was convinced that there was an achievement for it. I was like, why else would you put all these vines around this building? No achievement.
Not for that specifically, but there are achievements for
bringing things back to life and stuff.
Yes.
But I'm like, look at all these vines. There's got to be a reason.
Yeah.
There's one thing I found a little bit funny with getting into the facility. Because once you get into the facility, like there's the way that you get in by ground stomping on that one cracked roof. But after you like turn the first corner when you're inside the facility and you look up, there's a hole in the roof.
Where was that?
Like, where was that? I could have jumped in all the time.
Right.
I made that hole over there, but where was this hole? It clearly was already there.
Now, did anybody figure out when you begin the Soma facility, then you get that first area where you have to walk through the vents and you fall down, and if you turn around, there's a box inside a cage.
Oh.
And it's like, I could not for the life of me figure out how do I get to the cage was locked.
You had to go up on top of the vent and then to the side of it there was a another entrance to the vent, because if you look there's like two vents there, and I thought you had to like smash through some vent wall, but no, there's just like another vent entrance to have to like jump on top and you'll see it on the side.
Dang it, missed it.
Yeah, I think that I got to that because I saw that too, and then I ended up getting over to it somehow.
I did like, you know, in replacement for, you know, the floating orbs, they put the generators there. And it took me, you know, a little bit to figure out that they, you know, refilled. Mm-hmm. I would take all the energy, walk away, then after a while, like, oh, it's filled back up again.
I only use those. Like, I would only take about 4 things of power from it every time because it scared me to death that it was taking it from the outside.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
I mean, I don't think that it was because the leaves never went down, but I was just so afraid of, like, I'm going to be taking, like, I'm going to be, like, using all this power from these generators, and then, like, I'm going to get back outside at some point, and everything's going to be, like, burning or on fire.
Somewhere in the distance, some rabbit's going,
yeah, yeah.
So those just pull stuff, like, quote-unquote, in general from the air? They pull Amrita from the environment.
I know that now.
Right, but they make it so basically there aren't orbs laying around.
Okay, got you.
Yeah.
So yeah. Basically pre-sucking up the orbs.
Yeah, and store it in one space instead of wherever the orbs might grow.
So
yeah.
They don't have a scientist staring at an orb for who knows how long.
Well, they might have that in a secret lab somewhere.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I was scared to death, so I would only take, like, because I think at first, like, I emptied a whole canister, and then I came back, and I saw that it had refilled, and I was like, oh, this is a trap. Like, and so, like, I, from then on, literally, every time I came across one, I would only take, like 3 or 4 bars from it, and then leave it be.
Did anybody end up running into the Slender Man page in Titan Valley?
Oh, I missed it.
Yeah. It was underneath the really annoying grappling hook spot that I hated, where you had it, where it was basically the one that was, like, directly in front of you across a long gap. If you end up going underneath there, there's, like, a chest, but there's also a Slender Man.
Yeah.
What does it say?
Oh, it's the one where it's of Slender Man, and it says, no, 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 no.
I mean, it was a Slender Man-looking, like, creature.
Oh, like a... Oh.
Yeah.
Well, because they made the Slender Man game before this.
Okay, well. I haven't seen it. I don't know if it's foreshadowing stuff towards the end or not.
Yeah, so Soma facility. We're going to start talking about it.
Okay.
Anything else in the Soma facility that we miss? Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you, Kevin.
I really liked all the posters and everything. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Posters, and there was one projector running.
Oh, yeah. That was a lot of fun.
It had, like, your, I guess that was your little video from the beginning, yeah, whenever you put on the lead
suit.
They
did have more in that speech, though, where they talked about the, I can't even pronounce it, but, like, the one thing that they originally used before they switched to Amarita energy for the suits, where it ended up giving people heart attacks.
Yeah, before they discovered the energy thing. They were using some drug on the guys to... And the side effect was you were prone to heart attacks.
Yep. Yep.
It felt very Portal.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very cool area. I definitely enjoyed finding... I enjoyed all the notes that I came across. Most of them were, you know, interesting in their own way, in some way.
Yeah, it seemed like that in retrospect, that was what the area was for. It was like, all right, we're going to plant all these notes in this fairly harmless area.
Yeah.
Not too much can go wrong. And it's like, you know, just hunt around the whole facility, you know, in a linear fashion until you get to the, you know, to where you need to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And then your next thing was the Soma reactor, where you got to do the rails.
Yes.
Rail trails. I dug this. I dug it. I I enjoyed it a lot. It just felt like a fun ride. And once I stopped, like, stopping to, like, get stuff, you know, I was just like, I'm just going to go with this. I'm just going to just run and just enjoy this, like, this cool music they had playing. And just another thing, the music in this game, I really enjoyed the music. I think it fit the atmosphere and the levels really well and what you were doing. Because they always started up that, you know, those kind of, like, upbeat, adventurous, like, tracks anytime that you're kind of trying something new like this. And yeah, really fun.
The music design and implementation in this area with, like, when you jumped over certain gaps and everything. Chef's kiss.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
What did everybody think of the whole, this is where you learn the lore of quantum death, and, you know, it's like you do die, but you're actually getting transported to an alternate quantum reality where one of your instances is still alive.
And one of your, basically an instance from another reality is getting sucked into the
void.
And then it was really wild. I was reading a note and it said, basically, it can only happen if there's enough alternate realities where you're alive to pull one
out. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, if for some reason you were wearing a leaf suit when you were 95 years old and died of a stroke, it would be unlikely that you would revive, because most of your other 95-year-old selves wearing leaf suits would probably also not be around.
Be dead at this point. So
wild.
I found that interesting.
So I'm curious then, we didn't really go into it, but then that kind of puts a damper on, like, being able to use the leaf suits in combat situations, because then you're much more likely to have been killed in a combat situation. So even if you're wearing a life suit, not everybody that gets shot in a life suit will come back.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you might not have any more alternates, depending on how many times you die.
You used up all your paper cards.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wild. And just to think about the implications, like, if you were to think about other timelines and, like, other versions of yourself being there, and all of a sudden, like, they're just, like, sucked out of that. And, like, I mean, technically, like, I have to think about, like, well, wouldn't, like, that would have to be, anyways. I mean, I guess you're, like, draining their life rather than being replaced by them. It'd be really interesting if you were being replaced by the alternate. Because then, like, you would have to be, like, this whole, like, where am I? What is happening? Like,
And eventually... And if it was something where, like, you're continuously morphing into reality where everybody that's died in the lag suit is still alive, like, even then, if you're not in combat situations, like, eventually you're going to run out of options, because every time someone dies in a life suit, the remaining realities where everyone is still alive get smaller and smaller and smaller.
Quantum physics, don't go too hard.
Super fascinating.
Going into Bioshock Infinite territories and changing reality itself. Just kind of like, oh, here's a pretty much identical reality, just one where you didn't die.
Right. Yeah, that whole ending scene in that game was like, what? But anyway. Skating our way to the end of this level,
Skating your way to the end of the level. Then you get to climb on pipes and platforms. I don't think this is where...
Oh, getting to the middle of the reactor,
I don't think that you're introduced to what I'm thinking of yet.
Did something happen? I guess, I don't know, it's explored in the second half of the game. When you actually, it looked like the leaf, the life seed went into your suit.
It did look like that. Yeah, it looks like there was extra light things when I would shoot stuff or do stuff with my hand. I don't know where it went.
I'm like, yeah, that's the one thing. I'm like, the life seed's not a small thing. It's not like, no. Oh, it's like, you know, like something you can like attach to your belt or like put in like a pouch. It's a big honking seed. So it's like, are
bigger
you
than your head?
For the rest of the game, are you just did you just take like some vines and like strap the life seed to your life seed to your back and you're running around with this big seed on your back?
I mean, maybe.
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 It's like one of those big hiking backpacks that are huge.
There you go.
It's like, why would you wear this?
All right. Anything we didn't cover in either the Soma facility or Soma reactor that you want to talk about?
Oh, for the intro of the game, was it male for the person talking to you on the radio? Male, no matter what gender you chose for your character.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering if they like, oh, you had a female friend if you're a male. Male friend if female.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah.
Men and women have the same friends.
Yeah.
Funny how that works out.
What?
So going into the second half of this game, what are y'all hoping to see? What are y'all hoping will happen? How do you hope it will end?
Maybe some explosions.
Okay. I think you might be in the wrong game, but okay. All right.
Hey, we've seen some stuff almost blowing up.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, I think you'll get a little bit of that. You'll get a taste of it.
Maybe some more, you know, I want some reveal on what's actually going on with the life seed and all this orb energy and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think at this point, in my first playthrough, I really wanted to figure out, like, it was clear that Virginia and her friend were planning something, so I wanted to find out more about their plan and how that was going to interfere with all Dr. Fisher's plans.
Yeah, we didn't. Yeah, I forgot to mention Dr. Fisher, the research doctor.
The evil Dr. Fisher.
Yeah,
he was very passionate about what he was studying. Very driven.
And towards the end of that level, it was like, they always introduce the scientist who gets to that point where it introduces that famous phrase, "We will be like gods if we decide, you know, we figure this out."
Oh,
you
yeah.
Know?
And he was really going up against the Manhattan Project. Yeah. He mentioned that a lot.
Yeah, he had some big Oppenheimer envy issues.
Yeah.
Little man syndrome.
Yeah.
I also want to figure out what happened to everybody, because it seems like it wasn't just like, oh, they finished all their job and they went home. It seemed like something probably happened and they probably all died.
Yeah, or disappeared or got sucked up.
Yeah.
In the quantum alternates or something.
Yeah.
Ooh, never mind. Guys went crazy in the leaf suits and were running out of energy, and they had to like chew up the staff to keep going.
Whoa, dark, but I like it.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that wraps up our discussion about the first half of Valley. Yeah. Next week we finish it up, so play the second half, you know, do your thing, play till the end, have a great time. You'll get a few more abilities, you'll find out new information, questions will be answered. Yeah. All right. So, and also our next month chat is on October the 6th. So it's the game after this. So in 2 weeks, we're talking about Return of the Obra Dinn. At some point, we'll talk about Dragon Age Inquisition. We'll get there. After Return of the Overdin, we're talking about Bendy and the Ink Machine, since it will be October. So that will be a two-weeker, which I'm super excited about. All right. So if you want more Game Chat, you can find us over on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play Podcasts under The Game Chat for our past and current shows. Keep up to date on what's going on by following us on Twitter at @the_game_chat, or follow us on Facebook under Game Chat. Leave us a review or a question or a topic for our current game, and we might just read it on the show. You can send us those at chatwithus@thegamechat.net, or send us adorable pictures of dogs at notenoughdogs@thegamechat.net. So come back next week, where we're chatting about the second half of Valley, and we'll be doing our final thoughts and scoring for that. So until next Tuesday, thanks for listening, and I'll chat at you later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.